was a crowd gathered round from all over town just to see what it was all about. They came a shout coming down from the upper room where the Holy Ghost had been poured out. It sounded just like a rush of a mighty wind as they sat on every one of them. For the wind that blew at Pentecost, praise God, it's blowing.
Have your Bibles turn to the book of Luke. And if you don't have it, ask your neighbor to forgive you and then ask them if you can look on theirs. Book of Luke, chapter 1, we're going to read verses 5 through 13. And I have a little thought here tonight that I feel like the Lord would like to place in our hearts. You know, let me give you just a little hint on listening to preaching. You're never going to remember everything. I have a tough time even remember what I preach. You can, service is over tonight, you ask me tomorrow, how was church last night? I'll say it was good. I'll say, well, what'd you preach? I probably wouldn't be able to tell you. That's just the truth. I used to feel bad when I'd say, I talked to someone the next day, and they couldn't remember what I preached. You know, I talked to them on Monday and know what I preached on Sunday till I realized I didn't know what I preached on Sunday. I said, well, how in the world can I blame them if I can't even remember? I had to go back, look up my own notes, say, oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was good. It's like the old guy that was talking about, well, what good's preaching? Can't ever remember what they preach. He said, well, what'd your wife cook last week? He said, well, I don't remember. He says, why don't you try to stop eating? He said, meal's good, son, whether you can remember whether you ate it or not. It's what keeps you going. So you might not be able to remember everything, but it's what's keeping you going. Trust me, the Word of God is what keeps us going. Amen. But just try to focus in on the main thing of what is trying to be delivered and take that little bitty tiny nugget home with you. And that is the trick to listening to the Word of the Lord. It's get a hold of the nugget that God's actually trying to put into your spirit that night and walk home with it. I'm going to talk to us this evening for a few minutes on a little subject that I'm going to call our response to God's delay. Our response to God's delay. Amen. Ever been there? Luke chapter 1, verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. I was looking at that. We're teaching at South Florida Bible College this semester the book of Galatians, and Paul deals a lot with the law and versus grace, and that one of the impossible things, one of the curses of the law, is that man was incapable of following all of the law. And if you couldn't follow all of the law, then if you break the law in one place, you have broken the law in all places. So instead of becoming a blessing, it became a curse to fallen humanity. However, Luke says here about Zacharias and Elizabeth, he says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. How? Blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Look at verse number 13. We kind of just read through these things, you know. But I want you to just get a glimpse of what's being said here in this verse. The angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, just a few verses earlier, the word said they were well stricken in years. They're an old man, an old lady. How long do you think it's been since Zacharias actually prayed for his wife to get pregnant? You think it's been a while? It's probably been about 30 years or maybe 40 years. And this angel shows up, leans over on the right side of the altar and says, hey, Zach, fear not. The Lord has heard your prayer. Well, what prayer are you talking about? Because, you know, I just prayed a couple of minutes ago about the Messiah, and I prayed about this, and I prayed about that. And then the angel says, the Lord has heard your prayer. Your wife's going to have a baby. He goes like, dude, I haven't prayed that prayer in 30 years. Been a long time. So the question is, what is our response to God's delay? Because we know his timing's perfect. And if we can walk out of here with the understanding that God delaying to answer our prayer doesn't mean he didn't hear. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have full intentions of given all the desires of our heart. But he's going to do it in his time, and he's going to do it in his way, and he's going to do it in such a way that it blesses not only us, but it blesses everybody that we know. Isn't God a great God? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in your wonderful name, Lord God, we pray your blessing here tonight. We thank you for what we feel in the spirit. We thank you for the power that is upon us even right now. I pray that you anoint, Lord, this vessel. God, that you would use me to speak the word of the Lord, and that that word would come into every one of our hearts, and that we would leave this place here tonight with something in us that would strengthen us and carry us and bring us closer to you. Lord, that is our prayer. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord as you're being seated. So we find here a very unique situation. Zacharias is obeying the work of the Lord that is in his life. It's his duty. It's his turn. There were others, but the lot was now upon him. He was to go into the house of God. He had gone into the house of God so many times. And when you're there, you're inside. You're the only one there. You're the high priest that is orchestrating the different rituals and rites and ceremonies that were demanded of the law. They didn't keep them all during the days of Zacharias, but there were many of them that they did keep. And so there he is in the temple doing the things that he is supposed to do. And at this time, the main thing that they were concentrating on was the incense. And that was that the smell would come before the nostrils of God. That God would not forget them. That their worship, that was their worship. That their worship would make its way and penetrate its way through the heavens up to the throne of God. And this incense of worship would come into the nostrils of the Lord, and he would remember Israel in their trouble and in their bondage. So this is a very important job, if we can call it that, that Zacharias had. And he had walked into the temple many, many times before this. In fact, he had done this all of his life. We find out that him and his lovely wife Elizabeth, they found out early in marriage that she was barren. And there is no doubt that, I mean, every time the lot would fall upon Zacharias, that he would go into the temple and he would begin to burn them incense. And as those incense, that beautiful smell, would begin to make its way up and penetrate through the walls and the ceiling of the temple and make its way up into the presence of the Lord, there is no doubt that Zacharias would throw into that incense his little prayer. And, oh God, would you remember Elizabeth? She's barren. Lord, we want a son. God, don't bring shame upon our life. You have to understand that a woman not bearing a child during the days of Zacharias and Elizabeth was a very shameful thing. In fact, during their days, really the only thing that a woman had to offer a man was that she would give him a male child. Aren't you thankful for Jesus Christ and the New Testament church and that he has elevated the woman? I wish I could take about 20 minutes out here, but I want to tell you, if you think the emancipation, the power of emancipation of womanhood is what liberated you, you're insane. Jesus Christ is what liberated the woman in this world. Jesus Christ and the New Testament church. I'll give you just a nugget here and I'll go on. I don't want to get trapped up in all of this, but I got to thinking about this a while back. You know, back in the Old Testament, the only way to be a Jew and the only way to become into the salvation is that you had to be circumcised. Well, guess what, ladies? Only men can be circumcised, in case you hadn't figured that out. So basically, it gave no value to the woman. In fact, the woman's total salvation was 100% dependent on the man. He either lived for God or he did not live for God. And what happened in the Old Testament when the man broke the rule? Did they just grab the guy and drag him out and stone him, or did they bring out the whole family? They brought the whole family. The poor lady drug out by the hair. She didn't do anything. Drug out there. Her children drug out. And they'd stoned the whole family. Why? Because everything relied upon the man. However, in the New Testament, what did Paul the Apostle said? He said, lady, don't give up. He said, keep praying for that lost husband. He said, listen how the whole thing flip-flops. He said, because know you not that your husband is righteous through you? Know you not that your children are righteous through you? And he's talking to the lady. I want to tell you, God has given power to the woman in the New Testament church. Amen. Well, Lord, lady, if you don't get nothing else tonight, take that nugget and go home with it. God has given you power. So here's old Zacharias. He makes his way into the temple and he throws that in there and sends that up with the incense. Lord, remember Elizabeth. Remember her. She's barren, God. And I need to be careful how I pray this, because that's the name of my wife too. And God, she's not barren and she has borne plenty. And I am talking about Elizabeth in that book and not that one over there. I'm just trying to make things clear here. I don't want nothing to get mixed up. So remember, and I want to tell you, time after time, year after year after year after year after year, now she's 30, now she's 35, now she's 40, now she's 45. But Zachariah, he's hanging on the same thing. Maybe, you know, it's just possible. Lord, please bless Elizabeth. But somewheres in that journey, I'm not sure when it happened or where it took place, but somewheres in that journey, Zacharias came to his mind, because the Bible tells us later that she was way beyond the barren years. In fact, when the angel came to Zacharias, he was so dumbfounded when the angel said, "Fear not, the Lord has heard your prayer," and said, "Elizabeth's going to have a child." He was so dumbfounded, he like looked at an angel and wanted to say, "Have you lost your mind? Are you and God insane? What are you talking about? She's going to have a baby." So I don't know how long ago that was, but at some point in this journey, Zacharias stopped praying for his wife to have a child. But his cease of prayer did not erase from heaven. Woo, somebody needs to get a hold of this right now. I've come to tell you, every prayer you've ever prayed, every time you've ever prayed it, God has written it down in heaven. He knows the time. He knows the place. Somebody shout out, "Fear not." The first thing that angel wanted Zacharias to get a hold of was, "Fear not. God has indeed heard your prayer." There's no doubt sometimes in the journey, we have all crossed this bridge. We have all felt this way. After God not answering the prayer, Elizabeth stays barren. Shame is on the family. In fact, Zach was probably saying, "Why do they even keep me on the Sanhedrin court? I can't even believe they let me even still go in the temple. My family's been shamed. I have no seed." He's probably in there saying, "God, you have forsaken me. I don't know what I've done, but you don't love me because you haven't answered the prayer." Now, he's not blaming God. Understand, he's blaming himself. "Lord, I've done something. I don't know what I've done." Condemnation, guilt. My prayers aren't being answered. The first thing the angels said, he wanted to clear something up for Zacharias. He said, "Zacharias, fear not. God has heard your prayer." I've come to tell you tonight, God has heard you. Don't let that devil lie to you. Somebody shout, "Fear not." We get into the word of the Lord, and here is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house." Here's a man that for 4 days cried out to God. For 4 days, no food, no water, crying out to God. You can't tell me that sometime in that period that Gentile man, who already knew he had no right to pray to this righteous God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he was already told, "You're a dog. You've got no right. Your family has no access." But here he is. He heard about the Holy Ghost falling. He heard about the glory of God. He'd been fasting for 4 days and 4 nights, not stop. He was praying. No doubt during that time, he began to doubt.
He began to wonder. But he said, on the fourth night, a man stood by me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine arms are had in the remembrance of the sight of God. Oh, friend, don't quit. Don't give up. Know of assurance, God heard you the first time you opened your mouth.
Let me go just a little bit further. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come from thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael came, the chief of the princes. He came and helped me, and I remained there. And the king of Persia, he's still up there fighting, but I'm here to help you. But I like what he said. He said, Daniel, fear not. 21 days ago, when you begin to pray, God heard. I don't know how long ago you prayed for your marriage. I don't know how long ago you prayed for your child. I don't know how long ago you prayed about your job. I don't know how long ago you prayed about whatever situation that it is. I've come to tell you, the devil's a liar. God is true. Fear not. Fear not.
Don't let fear get a hold of your heart just because you think God has not heard you. That is a trick of the devil. He wants to come to you and tell you, God is not listening to you. Otherwise, he would have already responded. You would not be going through everything that you are going through. God would have already delivered you. And Satan will begin to work upon your mind. And he'll begin to work upon your heart and work upon your spirit. And if you're not careful, our response to God's delay will be fear. And fear is detrimental to faith.
Now, look at what Zechariah said here in verse 18. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this thing that you're talking about? Talking about my wife's going to have a baby. He said, for I am old, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel went on to clarify to him, I'm Gabriel from the presence of God, and there's nothing that God can't do. And because you have denied him, and because you have doubt in your heart, he said, and you know, he put the little curse upon him and said, you're not going to be able to talk and all of that kind of stuff. But this is what I get out of this. And if we're not careful, this is what we will let happen, even in our pursuit of things in our life. Maybe it's our ministry, I walk with God, something we want to see God do. Circumstances, we pray, we think right now is the best time. Right now is when it should happen. In fact, if I was God, I know I'd be doing it right now. And we'll pray it. We know it's right now. Got to be now. That house, it must be now. That land, it must be now. That car, it must be now. My healing, it must be now. My children, my marriage, whatever, it must be now. And we'll pray that. We'll believe it's got to be right now. It must be right now. And the delay of God will come. Then other things begin to happen. Circumstances begin to surround us. And what do? We begin to look at it. And we say the puzzle of life is falling apart. Pieces are beginning to miss. I can't find this piece anymore, or that piece, or this piece. And I needed them to make the picture whole. And we'll begin to look at it. And we'll say to ourselves, it's too late. It's impossible. Now, God, you can never do it. It can never happen. That's what Zacharias was saying. He was saying to the angel, 30 years ago, this would have been nice. But my wife is old. I am old. It's too late. It can't happen. It's impossible. The angel bowed his chest out. And basically, he said this, is anything too hard for God?
Yeah. How could it possibly be too late for the Creator? If it's dead, He'll resurrect it. If it's broke, He'll fix it. If it's too little, He'll give you more. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't ever underestimate Him. He knows just how to do it to bring glory to His name. And when He gets done with it, man will not receive glory, but God will receive glory.
And old Leah started walking around like this. And old Zach was following her like this. Something tells me that the men weren't on the sideline going, "Go, Zach." No, they knew better. They were going, "Only God." Somebody shout, "Only God." And Martha said, "Jesus, if you would have been here, he would not have died." But Jesus said, "I'm glad I wasn't there so that he could die, that you might see the glory of God and all of his power." The question is what is our response to his delay? How are we going to react when we pray and we know it's the will of God and we've agreed with a brother or sister like we taught on last week and we felt the power of God and the anointing of God. We had the prophet lay hands on us, didn't know anything about it, and speak into our ear, and God speak into our heart, and nobody could have done it but God, and God confirmed the prayer, confirmed he was going to do it. We got up the next day expecting it to fully happen, knowing it was going to be that day, yet the answer did not come. Day goes after day after day, then circumstances begin to happen, like it even did here to the church. Things begin to happen, and now we throw our hands up and we say, "Now, God, it's too late. Now you can't do it. It doesn't matter how good you are, how great you are, how big you are, you can't do it." And the angel said to Zacharias, "I beg your pardon, but I came from the presence of God. I know what God can do. I was there when he spoke the universe into existence. I was there when he called the dead and made it live. I was there when he took nothing and made it something. I've come to tell you, God can do anything, anytime, anywhere." That's what he was saying. If you'd have been here, wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, "Martha, your brother's going to live again." And she said, "Well, Lord, I know he's going to live in the resurrection." And he said, "Well, I am the resurrection. So if he's going to live in the resurrection, I am the resurrection, then he can live." So she just got frustrated and walked off and said, "Okay, God, whatever you say." Now, that's basically what she did. She just said, "Okay, I believe, whatever, okay." And she goes back and she gets Mary. And the first thing Mary says is, "Lord, if you would have been here," he said, he wouldn't have died. And the Lord said, "Mary, he's going to live. It's going to be okay." Look at John 11 and 37. See, this is our response to God's delay. This is the carnal response to God's delay. John 11, 37. "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the blind, the eyes of the blind, and caused that even this man should not have died?" Now, they didn't have enough faith to believe that he could actually raise him from the dead, but they had heard that he had healed others and stopped them from dying.
So he said, well, if he can open up the blind eyes, could he not have done this? And how many times have we responded to God in our prayers, and we pray and believe God, and we'll see him do something over here for someone and something over there for someone. And we know he's capable of doing it. And so our response to his delay in our life is, hey, if he can open up the blind, why could he not have stopped this situation from going as far as it went? Finally, Jesus was so upset. We know the word, he just begins to weep. Then look at what he says here, 11 and 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, coming to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone was laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Now look at Martha. Remember, Martha was the one who said, oh, yes, Lord, I believe he can live again, and you're the resurrection. Oh, yeah. She didn't believe a stinking word of it. Because when the Lord said, roll away the stone, she said, whoa. It's too late. If you were going to do this miracle, you needed to do it when he was laying on the cot back in the hut, when he had a fever of 106. But I know you can heal fever. I saw you touch Peter's mom. I know you can cause the sick to go. I've seen you do it over and over. They just touch the hem of your garment, cross your shadow, and they would be healed. I know you could have done that, but God, now it's too late. He stinketh by now. It's dead. It's over. It's hopeless. It can't happen. It's finished. It's done. It'll never work. Jesus said, I said, roll away the stone and you will see the glory of God. So what do you say tonight when God delays the answer? Circumstances make it look impossible, and he shows back up in your life. Don't tell him it's too late. Don't tell him it can't be done. Don't tell him the miracles stink. Roll away the stone of your heart and of your unbelief, and let God do a miracle in your life. Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. What do you say? We let God do a miracle for Tabernacle of Pentecost. It looks like it's too late. It looks like it can't happen. I've come to tell you, when God does it, he's going to get glory. God's going to be magnified. It's not too late. Let's not get the attitude that we say, oh, well, God, I guess it can't happen. Oh, well, God, I guess you didn't want it to happen. Oh, well, God, I guess it wasn't meant for me. No, Zach, it was meant for you, but the time wasn't right. But now it is. Your wife's going to have a baby. His name's going to be John. He's going to bring the presence of God into this world.
You see, Zach. You see, Zacharias, if I'd have gave you a child 30 years ago, he'd have been a good boy. And you'd have raised him right. You and Elizabeth have obeyed the commandments of God in all areas. He'd have been a good boy. But he couldn't have been this one. Because my timing for the Messiah was set. Watch me now. Because this is how deceitful the devil is. So the devil convinces this righteous man that the miracle he has sought God for can never happen. He convinced this righteous woman and this righteous man who have obeyed the commandments of God all of their life and have served in the temple of God that their miracle will never come. And that she will die barren with shame on her family. When the whole time God chose them because of their righteousness and because of their faithfulness. Elizabeth, as far as God was concerned, was pregnant the first time Zacharias ever asked for it. It was set in motion and set in time. But the day had not come. And when the day had come, God had delivered his messenger to Zacharias. The devil convincing him, it could never happen. My wife is old. I'm stricken in years. It'll never happen. Just can't. It's not going to work. And this is our response to God's delay. Circumstances surround us. Things fall apart. And we say, oh my God, now it's too late. Now it can never happen. Now it'll never work. It'll never come to pass. And God is just sitting there putting everything together. Got everything situated. Every T's crossed. Every I's dotted. Every punctuation is there. And God is just waiting for that right moment. Thank God. Listen. Thank God Zacharias and Elizabeth, even though in their appeared failure, even though it appeared God was not going to answer them, even in the midst of all of that, they stayed faithful. And they went to the house of God every time it was supposed to be there. And even though everything seemed like it was falling apart, they remained faithful. And so because of that, the prayer was able to come. The answer was able to be there. And because of who they were, God gave them this child. I've come to tell you, the devil's trying to convince you the prayer can't be answered. It'll never come to pass. It'll never happen. It's too late. There's no way. It's a lost cause. It's just over. It's done. Your ministry will never be fulfilled now. Your work in God will never happen now. This thing, this way, this purpose, your son, your child, your job, your marriage, your finances, whatever it may be, it'll never come to pass. It'll never happen now. But the Lord has come to tell you, just stay faithful. Just keep coming. And when the time's right, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. Let's go a little further in this study. I won't hold us much longer. It is the delay that makes it so powerful. Jesus said, I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. It is my delay that's going to make this thing so great. It is the obvious appearance to all men, Elizabeth, that it is impossible for you to have a baby that's going to let everybody know that God is the father of that child, as far as allowing the conception to take place. Follow me on that. They're going to know that it was God that caused that to happen. And I believe that that's how it's happening in many of our prayers, and that's how it's happening right here at the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. When God gets done with this thing, everybody's going to know God did it. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 14, the angel is talking to Zacharias, and he tells him Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And then he gives the results before Zach opened his mouth. You know, Zacharias would just keep his mouth shut. But since he couldn't, God shut it for him. So, in Luke 1 and 14, the angel says, your wife's going to have a baby. And he said, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what our response needs to be to God's delay? Especially when he shows up And he shows up at the time that it seems like everything we were praying for has fallen apart. And that now there is no hope. You see, you and I have the most faith in our prayers when we can see with our eyes how we think God can do it. Oh, I see how God can do this. We got all the little pieces. We put it all together for Jesus. And if he's had a tough time putting one of them in place, we can help him. I mean, we put this puzzle together. And we can have faith in our prayers. We can even tell God how to do it, because we got it all laid out. But something about our faith, when the stone's in front of the tomb, and he's been in there for 4 days, and he stinks, and everything's falling apart, and now you look at it and you go, how's it possible for it to happen? Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. We're talking about Abraham, who looked around and saw the impossible, but he believed anyway. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, look at this, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. My God, have mercy. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Let's stand to our feet. Listen. Listen to Pastor. This is what we're going to do. Every one of us have a situation in our life. We prayed. We believed. But God has delayed. Now we look around. Everything has fallen apart. It doesn't seem possible. It just can't happen. The Bible says, have hope against hope. Believe. Stagger not. Pay no attention to the deadness of your spiritual womb. Pay no attention to the impossibilities. Don't look at the fact that it can't be done. Just trust God and know if he promised, he is more than able to bring it to pass. This needs to be our response to God's delay. Not despair, not disbelief, not unbelief, not hopelessness, not depression. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. God's able to roll away the stone. God's able to raise the dead. God's able to do a miracle in your life. Come on, somebody, let your faith rise. Let your faith rise right now. The devil's trying to steal this miracle from you. The devil's trying to shut this down in your life. The devil's trying to convince you it can never happen now. But the angel of God is about to appear before you. And he's going to say, fear not, thy prayer has been heard. I feel faith in the house. I feel faith in the house. I feel power in the house. I feel anointing in the house. That's it, somebody. Release your faith. Release your faith. Release your faith. Stir it back up. I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to be positive. God has delayed. I don't understand it, but I believe God can do it. I believe God can do it. I believe God can do it. Come on, somebody.
I feel a resurrection in someone's heart right now. I feel a resurrection in someone's faith right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Let it rise again. Let it rise again. Respond to God's delay with faith. Respond to God's delay with hope. I believe it, God. I believe it. I believe you can do it. I believe you will do it. What is impossible to man, it's possible to God. He can do it. He will do it. He wants to do it. He's heard your prayer. Fear not. He's going to do it. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Don't look at your circumstances. Trust God. Trust God. Believe in God. He'll bring it to pass. He'll make it happen. He'll make it happen. He'll make it happen. Woo! My Lord, have mercy. I feel somebody's stone rolling away right now. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. God's rolling it away right now. He's about to speak life into it. And everybody's going to know God has done this miracle in your life. God has done this miracle in your life. God has done this miracle in your life. That's it, sister. That's okay. Every one of us need to think of that thing that we feel the womb is dead. We feel the time has passed. It's impossible for it to be done. It can't happen. You've got that thing in your life. Why don't you bring it before God? Why don't we repent of our disbelief? Repent of our disbelief. Hallelujah. You want to know why God shut up Zacharias' mouth? So that he couldn't spread disbelief. So that he didn't walk out of that temple saying, God said Elizabeth's going to have a baby. Can you believe that? Is that not the stupidest thing you ever heard? God said, I got to shut this boy up. So that faith can reign. Oh, my God, have mercy. Sometimes we wonder why we go through some things we go through. God just shutting us up so that faith can reign. So that he can bring about this miracle that he said is going to come to pass. And going to happen. My Lord, have mercy. So if you've got some thing in your life, some dead miracle, something you believe God for, now it seems like it's just impossible. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep coming. Be faithful. Stay true. Woo! My God, have mercy. Hang in there. The angel's going to show up. You hear me? The angel is going to show up. And he's going to say, fear not, the Lord has heard thy prayer. And he is going to bring it to pass. He is going to save your son. He is going to save your daughter. He's going to save your mother. He's going to save your father. He's going to save your brother. He's going to save your sister. He's going to do that miracle. He's going to perform that miracle in your life. He's going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them it's important how you respond to God's delay. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. Thank you for being faithful. Hug one another. Love one another. Kiss one another holy. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. You're the best people in the world. God bless you.